This is two guys on a podcast with beards, so I'm expecting that we'll cry. This is like modern therapy for guys, I find, you know?
Yeah.
Two guys on a podcast.
Hey, Kevasa Calexico. Welcome back to the podcast. Like always, before we begin, I want to thank my friends here at Calexico Brewing Company for allowing me to record today's episode. I really appreciate it. Today we have a returning guest. He was here almost 4 years, well, a little bit over 4 years ago, because it was July something of 2019.
That's crazy.
My guest today is Fernando Reza. Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. That's awesome.
So before we begin, for those that didn't listen, I think it was episode 45. Can you give us a little quick summary of who you are and, you know, what you do?
Yeah. My name is Fernando. I'm from originally born in Mexico City, but I grew up in El Centro. I'm a illustrator, graphic artist. I work in movies and TV, doing mostly key art, so like poster art and stuff like in promotion of movies. So I've done movie posters, outdoor campaigns, and stuff like that. And then right now I'm working in visual development, which is like concept art and like the early stages of production. And besides that, I do art shows. I try to do some art shows locally, and you know, we've done some stuff out here, which has been really cool. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, actually, I think the last art show I went to that was yours was at Strangers, but I think it was a combination of like an art show fundraiser, and it was also your dog's birthday, I think.
Oh, yeah.
When you had that mariachi come in.
Jack's birthday. Yeah, that was a year ago, man. That's coming up. Yeah, we got to do another one of those.
Yeah, it was funny because some relatives from Sacramento came down, and we were going to take them to Mexicali. But that weekend, they had like a curfew going on because it was like they were burning buses. And
oh, right, yeah.
So we were like, shit, well, what are we going to do? So I was like, oh, you know what? Let's go to the, you know, Strangers. They're having that fundraiser and, you know. Mm. And it was funny because they're like, shit, they brought a mariachi for a dog.
Yeah, they were tripping. The people, the mariachis themselves were like, where's Jack? And they were like, oh, it's a dog.
Also talking about your art and, you know, doing, you know, your art shows, especially when it's, you know, it's fun that you involve like local, like your posters, you know, have a theme that's, you know, from the valley. Like I bought one of your posters that said Fully Nocturnal by, I don't know what.
2025. Yeah. To turn the valley nocturnal, man. Yeah, no, that's something. It was just like a weird idea, but it is like a campaign that I think, like, what I like about it is that it's a weird idea, but like we need like weird ideas down here. You know what I mean? Like part of this thing, I'm doing this thing with this grant, you know. Mm. And part of it is to like focus on climate change. And it's crazy because we're going to be the hardest hit and the first hit with climate change. I mean, we already are. I mean, the temperature outside right now is like 120. Mm. So like something like that, like why don't we just go like fully nocturnal for the summer? You know what I mean? Like just be the first city that has to out of necessity. And then we're like, that's going to be our thing and that we rebrand that way. You know what I mean? I think that stuff's interesting and kind of. You know, like we just need like a new way of thinking to approach these problems, kind of. You know, so it's like tongue in cheek and it's funny, but it's also just like it's crazy out here, man. You know, we're surviving out here. So
yes, I mean, especially for those people that are working, you know, outdoors.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're kind of doing it in a way because during the summer they go in like at freaking 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah.
That way they're out by 10-11.
Right.
So it's basically, you know, doing that, but.
I mean, we definitely have had to implement stuff like that for sure. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, man, it's crazy. Yeah, my brother-in-law works those same kind of hours just because it's just unbearable. You know, like it really is. It's wild.
So, talking about, you know, you mentioned the grant. Can you tell us a little bit more about that grant and you know, what was the application process like?
Sure. Yeah. So, it's the first year that they've done it. It's called A Far South Border North. And they got together 60 artists to have some sort of effect on four major goals of the grant, which are It's global warming, to get the word about global warming, public health, civic engagement, and social justice. So in doing this, they've given out this grant to 60 practitioners, which come from all different backgrounds. It's not just visual artists. It's playwrights. It's singers, musicians, poets, people that do installations, different things. And so the hope is that we can all collaborate on some projects like here and in San Diego that focus on especially people that are living under a certain threshold. I mean, places that are struck by poverty and like where these social issues are just rampant. So the process was super simple. It was really crazy. I saw actually Gil posted about it, and I saw his post, and I looked into it, and it was a very simple process. They asked for 10 pieces of work and a couple essay questions. And yeah, it's been really great. Like that, just being around that energy of just like, we've gotten together a few times now, and everyone is coming at it with like just a great attitude. Everyone's in the spirit of collaboration and everything. So hopefully it comes to something really great, and we can keep this this whole thing going for a couple more years. Like I said, it's the first year, so it's very everyone's just kind of trying stuff out. It's kind of a little bit like loosey goosey. Like we're not sure how it's all going to play out, but like it's got like a bunch of great artists and stuff. So I'm very hopeful that it's going to make a huge impact.
So it's 60 artists. Do you know how many were picked from the Valley?
I think it was about 15. I think in the article there was an article in the Chronicle, and I think they said it was 15. Something like that. Yeah. So there is a presence, like from the Valley and stuff. And it's cool because I like, especially like going to that meeting, and like we're all put in like these artist hubs and stuff. So getting to meet people from the Valley that, you know, I didn't know about before, and like getting to know their trade and what they do and everything. It's been really cool. Even more so, like, you know, cause like we share kind of like this like cultural identity down here that's very specific. So, getting to meet other creative people from down here is always really cool.
Do you think that it's important to, like, as an artist, to use your art, you know, for political reasons or to promote like these kinds of things, where it's, you know, social justice and stuff like that? Do you think it's important? Yeah,
I think so. I mean, it depends on like, you know, what you want to do, but I think so, especially like during these times when things have just gotten, you know, so crazy. Like I don't, you know, we can get into it, but like the lady that stormed the flag at the flag ceremony, like, you know, like the political discourse is so crazy, you know? So yeah, I think that people, like, if you have that calling to like, or if you're pulled to like use your voice for something, and I think it's important. And if you can find a way to, I think the good thing about being creative and like, is that you can kind of like give people information in a way that maybe they'll be more receptive to it if you do it in some sort of creative way, and in a way that it's more impactful, and maybe you could strip them of the things that kind of blind them to other people's perspectives, you know? So yeah, I think it's definitely like the best way to approach some of these problems that are a little more complicated because of the way that people's identities are wrapped up in, you know, their politics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. When you started working and, you know, making these movie posters and all these different projects, you weren't in the Valley, right? You were still living in LA?
No, yeah. So I'd moved up to LA to go to film school originally. Like, I was going to SMC, and I was hoping to transfer to UCLA around the time. And I had a friend who had a gallery up in LA called Gallery 1988, and they did a show about the show Lost. It was like this huge ARG like interactive thing where each week they would release a new poster and stuff. And so I started following all the poster artists, and they were all incredible. And I went to that, and I was like, oh dude, I love all this art. It was like kind of lowbrow topics, but it was like done in a very artistic way. Like people were taking like that stuff seriously, like pop culture and all that stuff, in a way that was really cool. And it was like filling a space between like high art and like lowbrow art, where it was like not too, it wasn't like, you know, silly, but I mean, it would have like a sense of humor behind it, a lot of the stuff, but it was also done with a lot of care, a lot of craft and everything. So I ended up submitting some stuff for a show that they were going to do based on comedy movies. And I got into the show, and then since then it was a great place there to like experiment with different styles, different mediums and stuff. And it, the shows were always a lot of fun and different things. And through that, I started doing doing it professionally. I people reached out to me through that. And then I set up my website, and that it just kind of rolled from there.
So when did you move back to
We moved back in, I think it was late 2017, early 2018. Like we just, at the time there were like, my wife had been working at a sound studio up there, and that sound studio ended up closing up. Like a lot of people were doing recording from home. Actually, you know, stuff like this, man, you really killed the industry, dude. But like, yeah, so then, so we like, I could work from home at the time, and I was like, dude, we could, we should move back. You know, we were running like a 2-bedroom up there for like a ridiculous amount of money. So I was like, dude, let's move back. We'll get a house. And, you know, so yeah, that's what we did.
And the reason I'm asking is because when we first talked back in 2019, I felt that I feel now that you're a little bit more involved in, you know, in local politics and in just in general. Yeah. Do you feel that it's somewhat true? Like, do I have a?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know what? It was a lot more maybe like a year ago when I was still part of the Rants and Raves group, but I've since been kicked out, sadly.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I got kicked out because when in that situation where the teacher got in the fight with, I don't know if you saw that, where there was that scuffle that broke out. They had a policy on there that you couldn't say anything critical at all about the teacher. So I was like, oh, okay. And so then, but people were going crazy. They're like, oh, we got to raise money for her. We got to do all this stuff. And I was like, dude, we can't say anything about this thing, you know? And, I just jumped in there and was like, I love that the teacher beat up the child. I'm really rooting for her. I really love when she choked her out and stuff. And, you know, I was doing it sarcastically, and they caught on, and they eventually kicked me out. So I haven't been back since. So ever since then, like, people fill me in on stuff, you know, of what's going on. But really it was probably like unhealthy, man. I was like scrolling on the thing all day long and like getting involved in all that stuff. So it's probably,
yeah, because I mean, you don't seem like a Facebook user to me. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I would only get on to like wish my uncle and aunts like happy birthday. You know what I mean? And like, besides that, yeah, that thing was crazy. Rants and Raves is insane. Are you still on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I ever post anything or comment. Yeah. Maybe I'll like things here and there, but yeah, I think that, I don't know, I try not to get like add another stress into my life, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
So it's absolutely. You know, I go in there every so often, check it out, you know, especially with the politics here in Calexico. Yeah. You know, I try, you know, maybe I'll help out behind, you know yeah, backstage with some things here and there, but I try not to, you know, my daily life is full as it is for me to add something onto my plate.
And it definitely took a turn with like a Calexico politics where it got super dark and toxic on there, man. Like, it was really awful. Like, people get really hateful.
I mean, yeah, Calexico politics are, it's like a monster in itself.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest reasons why, like, I've thought about running, but then, you know, I see the shit that goes on. And I'm like, you know what? They really want all this, you know, drama and you know, at the end of the day, like, if I'm doing something like that, it's because I want to help my community. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it goes both ways, because some people might not like my opinion, but if they don't like it, I don't have to be a dick about it.
Right.
And vice versa. Like, if so-and-so has something that I don't like, you know, I'll be like, you know what, well, you know, that's fine. Like, we don't all agree on everything, you know, 100%. Yeah. So
but I think particularly though, down here, there's like a weird little cottage industry of people just being on the lookout to be outraged with, like, especially the young people on the city council these days. Like, they're very, and I think it's done in bad faith. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it's done in bad faith. And then, and kind of like, there's some ill will behind it that is really off-putting, you know?
I mean, I do feel that sometimes the, like the homophobic sub, you know, can get really out of hand. But the other thing that I feel is that they kind of poked on the hornet's nest when they called like the old Calexicans dinosaurs. I think that's what really brought up like the.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's what I, you know, from my perspective, I see that, I feel that, you know, kind of like, how can I say, like, yeah, there's families everywhere that, you know, that kind of grew up here since day one, right? That have been generation. And I feel that, you know, poking that nest kind of, you know, made people a little bit more angry than it would have otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for poking nests though, man, like, you know, so I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, and I don't think it's Calexico only. It's every small town and across America where it's like, you know, there's families that because they've been here so long have some kind of, and I don't mean it in like in a bad way, but you know, they feel like they have a little bit of control over.
Yeah, that's true. And that there is a component of it that is, that it can be positive, but there's also a component of it that can take a bad turn quick. So
yeah, because how I also see it is that, you know, if these families have been here for like generations, obviously I don't feel like they would want to, you know, destroy the city or because, you know, they have an interest in it here. Yeah. Otherwise they would have left, you know, especially families that have money here or are kind of wealthy that if they want to, they could, you know, pick up and go anywhere.
Yeah.
I feel that those families, you know, obviously they do care what goes on in their city. Otherwise they would have probably left by now.
Yeah. That's definitely true. It is interesting. Anytime there's a generational change, you know, it can get messy for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to that, what I said about, you know, it happens everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel that, you know, Hovel's a city that, you know, kind of like stays to itself, but it's mainly like the same groups as well, like that kind of like run.
Yeah. Hovel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely one of those, like, it's insulated, you know. Yeah.
But, I mean, they do a good job of, you know, keeping everybody somewhat happy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, people take different approaches to it, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that I'm a big supporter of, like, you know, bringing new perspectives in and stuff like that. And I know that sometimes that could rustle up, you know, poke people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen, I mean, like, from what I've seen, like, there's, it seems to be a genuine good faith approach, or like new approach to like some of these older issues and stuff. You know, I don't follow it day to day or anything, but it does seem like I've met Raul, I've met, and he seems like, they seem like a very genuine, good hearted person that is here for the right reasons to me. And so, I'm excited for what a new generation of politicians can bring to the Valley. And hopefully, like, these things, you know, some status quo is reached where they're allowed to bring this stuff to the kind of, like, some audience that's more receptive to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially, like, I feel that when you try to implement stuff in a small town, like, I feel like I would see them succeeding better, like at, you know, like in the state, somewhere like where there's more money, where they could, you know, really like.
Oh yeah.
Because they have, like, you know, there's like you mentioned, you know, there's really bright ideas that would work because a lot of people that go out to college or went out to university, they, you know, they see, you know, this a different world where, mm-hmm. you know, there's more I guess like a bigger budget for your city,
mm-hmm.
where you can implement, like, you know, things that would make the city run like traffic, you know, run better, yeah. things like that. But I feel that they would I would see them being more successful or implementing like these ideas like in like a like an, the Capitol kind of thing, you know, or right. an assembly mirror or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, I could see that. I mean, definitely without the finances to do some of that stuff, you get weird versions of those programs, and then, you know, you roll it out, and the rollout ends up souring people on maybe some of those programs.
Yeah, especially, like, ideas. In our city that, you know, we our city hall is, like, severely understaffed, like... Mm-hmm. It's like really hard to like when you have like an idea to like run with it and like get it running. Cause I'm in the planning commission. Mm-hmm. So it's like, man, like all these things, it's frustrating how slow, you know, the city works.
Yeah.
And it's mainly because we're understaffed.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I could see how that could be yeah. very frustrating.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Like, because I have people that I know that I'm on the planning commission, like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get my permit for this and that. And, you know, well, it hasn't come up to the planning commission. And it's like, well, yeah, I submitted like almost a year ago. I'm like, yeah. It's fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yep. And, oh, and I saw you, you were, when the whole hospital thing was going on, you're really active on that as well, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, throughout the whole pandemic and everything, like a lot of my family works at the hospital, or just seeing like, what I felt was like just a huge mismanagement. I don't know what happened there, but somebody dropped the ball somewhere. And, I think what really got to me though was that they shut down the pediatrics, like right out the gate, like as one of the first cost cutting measures, you know, and seeing that really, you know, I just felt like that was pretty wild to like start there when you're doing cuts. So
yeah, because mainly you think like children and the elderly that are like people that you want to
It's like the Titanic, man, like women and children first. Yeah. You know, like, but they got it the other way around, like that's where you start cutting first. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the this AB, the one that
The bill is to like make a big district. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, I kind of haven't followed that too closely, but I know that there's a lot of hesitation coming from pioneers, right? They don't want to take on all the debt and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I don't know, but apparently that's one of the only solutions on the board right now. So
yes, it's a big topic on, especially here in Calexico. People are some people are, you know, strongly against it.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because we have the Heffernan board and they get money through, I guess we pay taxes to that. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get money. So the conversation, I guess from what I hear is, they don't want to lose that money, or they don't want to lose that money. And then there's other people that are like, well, sometimes the Heffernan doesn't do much, so why not, you know, contribute to this and just get a,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, literally, it's, like, all hands on deck right now. Like, whatever keeps everything afloat. I mean, like, you know, obviously, if they lose the hospital in El Centro and everything just gets thrown on Brawley, that's not a solution either. You know,
no, because I feel eventually the same fate, Pioneer's going to have the same fate as
yeah, absolutely.
Because it's going to go from, you know, not El Centro not having that issue to, you know, we're just going to push it over here and
yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Like, and that was like, I mean, even from the beginning, when this whole thing went down and they brought in these, I guess they were like creditors to take over the hospital, and they were obviously just here to like strip it for parts and just sell it off, you know? And, that was insane. Cause I don't know if you saw, like, there's a video going around of like, similar companies they come in and they said they're going to save these hospitals, and they would just like basically just like slowly start cutting and selling it piece by piece to get as much money out of it as they can, and then just, you know, shutting the doors. Yeah, so like it's been since then, you know, I know they got a new CEO and everything, and I think they're looking for more like a political solution with Brawley, and hopefully something like that goes through, so then it works for everybody. But right now it's looking, you know, there's a lot, it seems a lot of pushback on both sides, but hopefully they can sort that out.
Yeah. 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 There's, I mean, we go back to the, you know, we're a small valley where people like feel like they're losing control.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, would you ever think of going into politics?
No, not at all, man. Same reason you, like, I just don't think that, you know, I would get too frustrated, in terms of, like, I mean, even hearing you talk about it, it sounds like, you know, just even like the bureaucracy of everything and how slow things move. And I don't think I could handle that. You know what I mean? It just seems overwhelming. And especially, I don't think I have the temperament for it either. You know, it's crazy. I couldn't even last on rants and raves, you know, I got kicked out of that. So
on a Facebook
group. Yeah. Like imagining like these board meetings and all this stuff. I don't think I could do it. So, nah.
But I feel that, Calexico is the one that has, the most, like juicy, board meetings. Like most of them are kind of tame. Like they're not as crazy as ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, man. But even, you know, there's stuff like, you know, like in Brawley, they couldn't get recognized Pride Month, stuff like that. And I'm just like, dude, it just seems so back. Like, it seems like we're moving backwards, man. Like that, like 5-6 years ago, that would not be controversial whatsoever.
Why do you think it's become like a controversial thing?
Oh, well, I think that there's like a radical kind of movement that has moved the goalposts of like what is, I think it's mostly to do with the demographics are changing, and there's a certain group of people that are very threatened by change now, and it's kind of like the last gasp, so they're hold on the majority and on power, and it's really radicalized a lot of people into like these mentalities that are just pretty extreme, and these things that, you know, would be unacceptable to say a couple of years ago are now more mainstream, and at least on that side of the spectrum. And so, yeah, it's really unfortunate to see, and I don't think I could, you know, handle being around that and having to be patient with that, you know, because I just feel like it's just kind of an old way of thinking that is just outdated, and you know, it's also kind of like this culture war stuff that like doesn't, you know, in, at the end, like the way that like something like that being recognized is helpful to the people, to a group that's at risk, that a group that like can use that acknowledgement even for their own safety. There's been people that have been murdered out here for their lifestyle and stuff like that. So to them, it's a major thing. And for these people, it's something that doesn't affect them that much, but it's just a weird culture war kind of fight that they can have. And so the stakes are very different for each side, and it's just upsetting. I don't know how anyone can navigate in that and, you know, have the patience to like sit there with people and like, that are kind of propagating that mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. Like, yeah, I had never thought about it that way. We're like 5-6 years ago, it wasn't such a big deal.
Yeah.
And now it's something that I never really thought, you know, put it in my mind, like, yeah, in reality, like 5-6 years ago, you know.
Yeah, that would just fly right by. Like, it would just, it wouldn't be a battle, you know, like it is now. But now it's, I don't know what it is, man. Like, even in entertainment, man, like in movies, like, you know, you read comments under, like, a movie that has a girl as the protagonist, and people are losing their minds under there, being like, oh, this is woke bullshit, you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, what's going on, man? Like, there's like a whole section of the population that is like, all has the same personality now, like online, just this kind of like it has like, they listen to the same people online. They like, they have that same mindset, and it's just a very intense worldview that is just like really hard to break through. And you know, it a lot of it has to do with like the algorithm, like what you see online. I know, like, it'll start showing you, you know, even if you just like, or go on YouTube, it'll like start peppering in these videos that are just like, oh, woke activist gets destroyed or something, you know what I mean? And then you'd like, you see that, and then it's like, it'll keep you pushing you down a rabbit hole, you know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of like algorithm and like AI, you know, AI has been a huge topic lately, especially, you know, since, you know, it's kind of scary sometimes, you know, the things that it can do. And you're like in the film industry, and right now, you know, there's a strike and all these things.
Sure, yeah.
And especially, you know, as an artist, there's been shows where there's like an exhibit where people don't know that art piece was made by AI.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on, you know, on AI, especially, and, you know, since you work on both ends of, you're not a writer, but you work in the film industry kind of.
Yeah.
And then you work in the art scene. Can you tell us, like, first in the art scene, like, what are your thoughts of, you know, AI, you know, being able to create like these art pieces that are like people can't tell the difference whether it's made by somebody or, you know, a computer.
Yeah. It's really crazy, man. Cause there's both sides. Like on the one hand, you know, like when Midjourney came out and DALL-E and stuff, and like just getting on there and messing with it was incredible. Like, it's just like, and people make incredible stuff. Like, I've seen, there's a guy I follow who he made a whole theme park, and it looks like these 60s, 70s photos from like an imaginary theme park. And he adds rides and he does this whole thing. He's created a whole narrative around it. Or like there's another guy that I follow that he's made this like weird, like 80s TV show. And it's like this crazy, like psychedelic, like Western looking thing, you know? And, so that stuff's really cool. I mean, it's all photorealistic. It's all crazy. It's not something, you know, necessarily that rips off. I mean, I'm sure it does because it's being fed imagery and stuff, but it's not necessarily something that you would see and be like, oh, that's ripping off this certain artist. But I know, but in Midjourney, I know that there's a whole side of it where people, their artwork would just get fed into this machine. And even to the point where people would pull up, you know, you could put in like, make me this in the art style of so-and-so. And you would pull up images that even would copy it down to where you could see the indication of like the signature. You know what I mean? That's how much it was taking from those images. And so that stuff is really crazy. And when it comes to like the gray area of like, oh, well, then how would these people be compensated? Is there even a model that this could work in like going forward where this makes sense for an artist to just have their work fed into it? Gets real dicey. Mm. It gets real crazy. So I don't know. It can be like a creative thing, but at the end of the day, like there's a big part of it that's like soulless. You know what I mean? And I think forever, like it's going to be that. Any kind of art that has meaning to people is something that people put a piece of themselves into, and it has a perspective and has care put into it. So I think people, no matter what, are going to hopefully like be craving that above these AI things. But at the same time, I think that a lot of the tastemakers and industries are kind of very attracted to the idea that they can just pop into an algorithm and it come up with a script, pop that into an algorithm, come up with an animation. You know what I mean? Like that stuff. And it could be, you know, I've seen like very like Black Mirror type scenarios that people are pitching where like you can come home and just be like, put me in a romantic comedy with these actors and like make me something like that. You know what I mean? And then you just sit down and you watch something that was just made up for you on the spot. And that seems like people were celebrating it, but it seems to me like that seems like horrifying. You know what I mean? That seems crazy. Like that seems like something out of like a weird sci-fi dystopia, you know? So I don't know. It is very, it is crazy, especially coming from visual art, you know, and like knowing that, like, I mean, it's so unfortunate that AI is going to rip through creative like music and culture and things like that first before it goes after everyone else's jobs. You know what I mean? So I think it's important, the strike and the people taking a stand against this kind of stuff and making sure that we approach this in a responsible way. I think that's important. Hopefully we can hold the line on this front. And then when AI starts playing out into other industries, people can kind of follow that model.
Yeah. And I think the scariest thing is that, you know, AI is, you know, scary right now, but it's, like in 10 years, like right now it's at its worst. Like in 10 years it's going to be way better than it is now.
Oh yeah. Right now, like, you know, you could still tell like with hands, it'll have like 20 fingers or something like that. But yeah, eventually it's going to be completely like, yeah, you won't be able to tell anything.
But do you think that, eventually once, you know, and hopefully it doesn't get to this point, right? But you know, when you stop feeding it, when there's no more new artists or new art created by new artists.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, doing that job. Do you think it's going to run out of ideas too, since there's no more new real ideas, like human ideas?
Yeah, it could be, man. It'll just start feeding on itself and then just like, just
create the same shit.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that definitely could be, man. And that's also, I mean, that's funny too, because that's kind of culturally where a lot of stuff is too right now, where it's just feeding on old ideas. So, I mean, it could be just another, like a mirror of like what's already happening.
Yeah, because we keep getting these like reboots or, you know, it's like, I didn't go watch Indiana Jones because I thought the last one before that was
kind of Crystal Skull. Yeah.
And then I don't know what other like remake I haven't watched, because it's like, why would I want to watch? You know, I already saw the best one, which was
I've seen a Teenage Mutant Ninja.
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm gonna see that one.
That's a good one. Yeah,
I'm gonna go watch that one for sure.
I saw that yesterday.
I'm gonna go watch that.
It was incredible, man. Yeah, there's this artist that worked on that. His name's Woodrow White, and I'd been following him for a long time. He would do these really cool paintings of like backyard movie like pool nights or something. And then he did a series of like people holding signs in LA, but just these really sketched out same art style as in the movie. And I remember I saw him, like he got hired at Nickelodeon. I wasn't sure what he was doing there. And then he started as a character artist, and they moved him up to lead. And basically that whole look of that movie is very much his art style. Like, and he just completely like, and it's amazing. Like, it's really crazy.
Is this a Nickelodeon film?
Yeah. I think Paramount owns it. I think Paramount owns Nickelodeon. It's all under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I want to go watch it for sure. You know, I'm a huge, you know, I grew up with the Ninja Turtles.
That's super good, man. I highly recommend it. It was awesome.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for my son to come down so we can all watch it together.
Yeah, that's cool.
But that's one of the. It's not a reboot, is it? It's, or what would you call that one?
Kind of. Like, it's a whole new approach to like the thing a little bit. I mean, they're like, it's definitely focuses more on like them being teenagers. You know, so they feel a lot more like teenagers. The storyline's a little. Like on the one hand, like more lighthearted, but it's also like very like heartfelt. It's very sweet. It's very it's fun. It's just really good. Ice Cube's in it. Ice Cube's like incredible as like the villain in it. He's super funny. Like, yeah, it's a good time, man. It's really good.
People were going back to you know, you mentioned the, you know, when woman is a lead.
Yeah.
But and this one, you know, they were talking because April is not. You know, your redhead or
right.
I think she's African American, right?
I think so. Yeah. She's like mixed race or something. Yeah. Yeah. People get very upset when you, I don't know how to put it, but for example, like when the green M&M stopped being sexy, people got mad. Or like when, it's crazy. It's like, I don't like, what are you looking to get out of this, man? You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird. But in the movie, she's a teenager too. So it's just like, it makes sense that she would be, I just don't see this. Like, it's like the character was great in the movie. Like everything worked. Everything was great. Like, it's like these people that have this, like, I think they're worried that they're like this old mentality. Like, I'm rambling now, but like for example, today I saw a comment about, like, it was a clip on Instagram of some movie, the comment was like, oh, it's so sad. It was a movie from like 5 years ago. And they were like, it's so sad. We can't have comedy like this anymore. It's like, what are you talking about? You can joke about anything pretty much. You know what I mean? Even if it's like inappropriate, even like, you know, so you're apparently get canceled, but these people that get canceled are still on the air. They're still platformed. They're still making millions of dollars. I don't know what this is. It's like people are scared of like the reaction to their reaction. And I think it's unfortunate. Like, but more to the point, people need to stop getting horny for cartoons, really, is what it is. Like, go do something else. You know what I mean? Like, they make horny cartoons if that's what you want. You know what I mean? Go look for that. Like, you know, keep it in your pants.
I was watching, because sometimes when I'm at work, I try to, like, have something, like, I have a big screen. So, like, on one side, I try to have something that's always, like, a cartoon or something. Yeah. Like, to, like, if I need a little break from whatever I'm doing, like, even though the volume's not on, you know,
right.
So I was watching I found a YouTube video where it had like the first season of the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, April was you know, she had like this really tight,
yeah, like the jumpsuit thing, the yellow one. Yeah.
So it's weird. I guess it's weird for them to see somebody that's not tall and skinny. And,
yeah. Yeah. And, but also, you know, like, why would she need to be? It's just like they're like teenage turtle men. You know what I mean? I don't see a reason that they would need to be hanging out with an attractive older lady and like lusting after her. You know what I mean? Like, the whole dynamic is pretty strange.
Yeah, and they were teenagers. But yeah, I was watching the first season, and it was, I don't know, some of the graphics were, like, I don't know, I don't know why when I was a little kid, I was, like, really into it. It doesn't hold up. I don't know. I like the turtles. But the animation was kind of...
Oh, really? Yeah, dude, I'd have to go back and see it. But I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. Like, I had, VHS tapes of some of the episodes. Yeah. And just watched the same ones over and over.
No, yeah, it's funny because I was watching another YouTube video about the Ninja Turtles. And you know how there was, an intro where, some letters would come on...
THC?
I think it was THC.
Yeah.
But it's like it brought back, you know, this memories when I would do the same thing. Like I would have a couple of VHS of the Ninja Turtles and like rewatch them.
Yeah.
But you rewind them all the way up to the back and, you know, would see.
Mine had, do you remember, it was like a Burger King Kids Club commercial and like it was like they would come out of the paper. Yeah. And like,
that one too.
Yeah.
I think it was a promo and then they had the THC whatever.
Yeah.
After that, but
that's funny. Yeah.
It's crazy how, you know, you'll watch something that you watch as a kid over and over, and it's like takes you.
Yeah, it takes you for like, sure. Yeah, I remember that was like a big old, like I would just run those VHS tapes till like they gave out. Yeah, that's funny.
You were trying to fix the tracking on it because it was already too.
Yeah, too. Yeah, it gets super warped.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually bought the have the like the first three seasons of I think, but they're on DVD. Mm-hmm. They're still in shrink wrap because I just bought them because sometimes I do that like compulsive buying, like I'll see something, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna I don't need it, I'm never gonna watch it. But
dude, I wish I had done some of that stuff because like now like everything's getting wiped off like the digital, you know, like so a lot of that stuff, yeah, you know.
I was you know the VHS for Cars,
uh-huh,
it's like $3,000
if you saw that. Like I guess you had to like sign up for some sort of like club or something, and that's the only people that had it, so that's why it's so rare or something. Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to take this time to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, and my friend Jake. Thank you guys for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. I also want to thank my friends who sponsored the podcast in 2022. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico, hit the support button, and you can sponsor the podcast from 99 cents a month to $10 a month. It really helps me a lot to make this podcast better, sound better, look better, and reach out more people by promoting the podcast in social media and other websites. So if you want to become a sponsor, make sure to go to my Anchor page, and I'll leave a link. Also, leave a link in the description of the show. So, thank you so much, and now back to the show. But yeah, it's like now I do it, but I hate going to the store and I see all these people like just like I saw the other day like this guy like got like a complete box of I think it was Hot Wheels or something,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I buy them for me. I don't buy them to resell, so it's kind of it's upsetting when you see people like trying to make a profit of something I want it for me.
That's how it is in the print game, man. Like it's crazy. People will come on with like bots and stuff, and they'll buy up like a ton of posters, and then like immediately drop them on eBay even before they get them in hand, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge like market like that. It's pretty crazy.
I know you're not a fan of Funko because of what they did to Mondo.
Yeah.
But I'm a collector, and not only that, of that, I have other things that I collect. But for those, I see people like posting some of the ones that aren't even out. They put them on eBay or whatever, and they're like double the price, triple the price. I'm like, it's crazy.
It's pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah, I hardly ever spend more than double like the MSRP on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
unless it's something I really want. But if I do, it's got to be like an action figure, not like I almost spend that much on a Funko. Because I think the Funkos are the next Beanie Babies.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I've heard that they've had to like dump a bunch of stock recently, like or something
millions
like
of dollars of stock. Yeah,
because it's pretty wild. Yeah,
no, yeah. They need to make it more like kind of like what they did with baseball cards or basketball cards, where like they make more like 100 or 1,000.
Yeah.
And then just release those and whoever gets them, right?
Right. Yeah. To keep it sustainable in some way. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Like you said, like, yeah, Funko Pops, they're really, yeah. In the print game, it's like a real, they're like the devil right now, man.
So what's the story behind that and Mondo?
So Mondo is like this really great, they're like the originators of like the alternative poster scene in Austin, Texas, and they linked up with a movie theater chain out there that's now nationwide, Alamo Drafthouse. And they would hire these really cool artists to do really cool posters. They're super inspiring, and like a lot of the people there like have gone on to do like really amazing things in like different industries and stuff. And it was just a really cool like kind of like place to cultivate. They cultivated a lot of talent really quick, and then they were bought out by Funko like a couple years ago. And I think, I don't know exactly what happened, but at first it was going to be great because like Funko was going to pump in a bunch more money. They were going to be able to do more events. They were going to do more shows. And then quickly it just became like apparent that that wasn't going to be the case, that it was kind of, they were kind of just stripping it for parts. And, little by little, there was less releases and, you know, when it came to time for Comic-Con, there'd be like a big like a release. But then besides that, there was a lot less output. And until finally they just fired everybody that was a part of the original Mondo. They brought on new people. But I think recently, like last week, they fired 200 more people. So now I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to shut down the whole thing.
It's still open, but they don't really...
Yeah, they kept it open and they focused more on doing soundtracks and vinyl figures under the Mondo brand. But I think even that now is going to be winding down.
And is there like possibility for the old Mondo crew to kind of like open their own studio? Or?
Yeah, I know they're very creative people, and they're definitely going to do something awesome. I know that, but I'm not sure what that's going to be exactly at this time.
Because you know, it's funny because it's something similar happened to like Ballast Point, where Constellations bought them, and then for some reason it didn't go the way they wanted to, but yet they still were able to continue.
Yeah.
You know, being productive, being a name, you know, big name in the beer industry.
Yeah.
And I, you know, hopefully that, you know,
they
can branch out and do the same thing.
That is a pretty common thing where like a big company comes in and they might not understand exactly what it's the very niche kind of subculture, and they might not be fully aware of what it is. And, you know, the instinct might be like, why are you selling 300 prints when maybe you could do 2,000 prints and we can make this much money? But it's like, they also don't understand that like Mondo is pushing the whole game of like screen printing to like its limit. I mean, they were doing it in such a way where they were working with very artisan printers across the country. And at this time, there's no way to do like a run of like, you know, like 5,000 screen prints of quality and get that done in a timely manner to automate that, just because the talent pool isn't there in screen printing like it was, you know, back in the olden days when people were doing that regularly. And so I think that they bought it under the understanding that they would expand it somehow in this very crazy way. But it's not a market that you can expand that far because it's so niche, so artisan.
Yeah, like the quality wouldn't be there. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they kind of like they lost their motivation for it pretty quick, and then it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, because yeah, I'm a Mondo fan as well. And, you know, I like the artwork that they put out, and yeah, I was kind of, you know, bummed because, you know, I'm a fan of both, you know, companies.
Yeah, it's like your parents fighting.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I was like, man, that sucks. But so we're almost at an hour. Dude, anything that, you know, we didn't talk about that you wanted to come on and talk about? And
let me see, man. Let's Have you ever seen the Aurora Borealis? That's a question I had.
No.
No. Me either. I really want to. I think it's pretty amazing. It's a goal of mine. Have you seen a moose?
A moose? I think I have. I don't know. Probably not.
Because I saw a video recently where a moose was walking in traffic, like next to some SUVs, and it's way bigger than I thought. Like, it really blew my mind. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen videos of them. Yeah. They're freaking huge.
They're
huge,
and they're they're super aggressive too.
I saw one there. A couple of them were fighting next to like freaking Silverados, like big trucks.
Yeah.
And they were like super tall, and then one of them jumped on top of the the bed of the truck. And
oh shit! Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, they're enormous, man. Yeah. It's really.
I haven't seen one. I don't know if because I remember. Do you think they have them on in by the Grand Canyon or no?
You know what? I think they. I remember seeing bison for sure. I know they had like that little the spot that you drive through on the way there. We went to that and I remember seeing bison, rams.
Wolves. I want to say I saw one. Yeah. I don't know if it was a deer or a moose, but I saw like a huge wild animal, and we went to the Grand Canyon.
I know that they got some crazy animals.
I saw
we fed a big ass bison out there.
Oh, really? Cool, yeah. I gave water to a chipmunk or squirrel. It was like running around, and then it was like going. You know how they go like this sometimes.
Yeah.
So I took out my water bottle and it's like started drinking water from my mom. It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, bison, moose. Aurora Borealis. What else was there that I wanted to ask you about?
I heard the first one you asked the word, but what is it?
Which one?
The Aurora Borealis.
The Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights.
Northern Lights.
The Northern Lights, man. What do you think about aliens being real? How about that?
I mean, there's, like, when you think about it, there's no way there isn't something else out there.
Yeah.
So I feel that they're real.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy, though, that the government is, like, really trying to get our, like, tug our sleeve and be like, hey, aliens are real. Like, don't you find it weird that, like, after years and years of people being, like, conspiracy theories and all this stuff, and that all of a sudden now they're, like, fighting to get our attention to be like, hey, like, we found aliens and shit, and nobody seems to care. You know what I mean? Everyone's just like, yeah, dude, we're busy. We got bills. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a trip. Yeah, I think for the most part, I think people kind of, like, they're like, well, no shit, Sherlock, there's gotta be something out there. I mean, there's no way, like, there's, all these planets, galaxies, whatever, and we're like the only ones here. Yeah. There's no freaking way.
That's crazy, man. I wish you had like a Jamie, like on the Rogan podcast, we could bring up footage and sure we could look at it. You
know? Look over here. Yeah. No, it's funny because I saw a meme where like, there's like this kind of like a door figure in Mars and they're like, oh, they found a door in Mars. And then there's, the guy that's always, the black guy that's always like behind the tree, the meme where he's And then he's like, Jehovah Witnesses are like.
That's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of scary because you kind of think, what are they capable of?
Yeah.
But the first time I did stand up, I kind of incorporated aliens and CrossFit into my routine. But it's like, I bet there's aliens out there where, we're out here trying to get, building all these telescopes and all these things where we can try to communicate.
Yeah.
And they're over there trying to block all this shit that we're trying to create because they see us like buying $40 knee pad. Cause my friend was like to CrossFit. He's like, oh yeah, I gotta buy some knee pads. I'm like, how much are they? Like, oh, $40. Oh, for a pair, it's not bad. No, it's for one. I'm like, fuck.
You buy them individually? Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
So I'm like, they see us like doing all this shit. Like, you go to the store and you see fucking gummy vitamins for adults. You're like, the fuck? Who the fuck needs gummies?
Yeah.
Like, so they see all this shit like we do. Like, they're probably like over there like trying to block all of these instruments.
Yeah,
we're like, trying.
Yeah, keep their distance. Yeah. For sure, yeah.
Because we're like, we're so fucking dumb. Like, sometimes, like, I feel like we, like, for example, we use technology and we kind of like make ourselves dumber. Like, we have calculators. We have, GPS. I bet nobody knows how to use a map nowadays because of the GPS. So, yeah, it's like we're just becoming, it's kind of like Idiocracy. What's that movie?
Yeah, it's like that. It's also like Wall-E, man. We're turning into those Wall-E people.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. But down here, it is interesting you brought up CrossFit, man, because I've noticed that we are, they're preparing us down here for like some sort of a, everyone's getting fit for some sort of eventual war, you know what I mean? With whether it be aliens or whatever. But clearly, like, there's the amount of gyms is really insane. Gyms and barbershops, you know what I mean? We're all going to go in there with like fresh haircuts and super like swole. That's the plan.
Yeah, I think barbershops, I want to say a little bit before the pandemic, became like this really big thing, like where they would have like kind of like when we have a Comic-Con and stuff like that, but they have it for barbers.
Oh, yeah. I know they. There's a spot in El Centro where there's like a barber school now, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, there's a bunch of barbers.
Yeah, it's for some reason it became like this big thing, and when you think about it, like everybody's getting the same haircut, that Edgar haircut.
Yeah,
so it's like I'm sure one of them knows how to do their
Edgar haircut. I know, right? Yeah,
just go get it with them. But yeah, I mean, no, I mean, there's talented barbers for out sure, there. That,
yeah.
I'm not trying to shit them.
Yeah, you don't want the barber community coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no like disrespect. You don't want the barber community and the K-pop community coming after you because
oh yeah, the K-pop community is gnarly. Dude. Yeah. They would bring it, even like I think they brought down some Trump rallies. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
where they would buy the tickets. Yeah, they're pretty intense.
Yeah, for sure. So anything else that you have that you wanted me to?
Let's see. We covered aliens. We covered all that stuff.
Moose, the Northern Lights.
How are you, man? I don't think anyone ever asks you on here, man. It's always like K Pasa Collective.
K Pasa Collective. I'm good. I think that the heat is kind of like this. I think I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
I remember the last time we spoke, for some reason I mentioned my age. I was 37 back the first time we spoke. So yeah. I feel that time's really going by like super fast for me now.
Shit, yeah.
Just because we're busy all the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, I'm starting to feel a little bit my age, like body aches, tired. But overall I'm good. You know, my wife, my kids are healthy. My parents are, my dad's a little bit older, so he's somewhat healthier for his age. My brother, my sister, like everybody's.
That's good, man. That's
been awesome, good. Yeah. I'm happy with what I'm, especially with the podcast where it is now. We're like, more people are reaching out, like, to be on. That I don't have to like, kind of like stress, like, oh, who I'm gonna have on? Like last week when I have Ricardo, he says like I was trying to get him on for a long time, and it was amazing that he reached out. Like, yeah, I'm gonna be in the Valley, like. Let's do this. I'm like, pretty cool that he reached out. So
that's right. I love that guy's stuff too. Like that whole Barrio Logan scene's
really cool. Yeah. And it's crazy how he went from, you know, growing up, he was like in metal, like death metal, like hardcore. So now it's, you know, how he's transitioned to tour. It's out like to Chicano art.
Yeah.
And we go back to where like people go leave the Valley and they try to find a place where they feel home. And a lot of times is, you know, these Chicano communities where like lowriders and all these things.
Yeah, like, Boyle Heights, Barrio Logan, yeah. Yeah, it's totally true, man. That is really cool. It definitely has a sense of home and like sharing in that, that culture and stuff is very comforting. And
to me, it's like fun, like hearing all these stories because I never left. So like to me, like I've never felt like not at home because... Mm-hmm. I'm here, right? So it's interesting, like to see how, you know, people that were like me, like they didn't feel like a need to go that route, you know. Now they're, you know, it's their kind of like their identity because they were kind of forced into it, but then they felt like, you know what, this is what I had back home, but I just didn't see the similarities or the need to do it.
Yeah, it is crazy. Also, like growing up, there is a mentality here of like, oh, like as soon as I turn 18, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? And there's like, it takes a while to come around and come full circle and kind of like, have a sense of like community and a sense of care for like where you came from and shit. So, I think that's true. Like, especially people that move San Diego, LA, wherever, and then they find that there's like a missing thing because they maybe they've rebelled against it for so long, and then there's, you know, you got to stretch and kind of make peace with that stuff. And then I find a lot of people older, when they get older in age, they come back and then they have a very, you know, deep respect for the Valley and like, you know, the culture here and everything. And they see it for the positive things and not so much for the negative yeah. things that they were kind of rebelling against originally. And I think that's, you know, that's really cool.
Were you similar to when you left, were you like, oh, fuck it, I'm leaving the Valley? Cause
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think like a lot of my friends were too, like everyone was just kind of like, oh, like, you know, this place sucks or whatever. And, yeah. And it took a while to come around. Like I remember moving back. I think we talked about it the first time I was on here, but like, I thought like, oh dude, like, you know, I'd been doing shows up there. I'd been doing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, like I'll come down here and like, we can bring this down here. And like, you know, this will be cool. Like and by the time I came down here, I really stumbled on a ton of awesome people that were already down here doing shit. Like mm-hmm. they were just doing really incredible stuff. That's when I met, Jared, Ernie, you know, these guys here, there was so much stuff happening. It was like a really exciting time. The Bourgeois guys, everybody like, was doing these creative things, and it was an art, like it was cool just to like attach to it and just kind of like feed off of it and be like, yeah, how can I help? How can, you know, how can we do something together?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's extremely rewarding. And, anything that I, you know, ever since moving back, like in connecting with this community down here and like, you know, trying to find ways to give it a platform and stuff. And just, you know, stuff like what you do and everything is, it's really cool that there's, getting that message out there to people that are here, so hopefully new generations don't come away with that same mentality of like, oh, this place sucks, you know what I mean, and like, and have to go on that journey to come back. They could just appreciate it for what it is while it's still here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Especially because, like, you know, I talked to a lot of people that, you know, when left the Valley or, you know, went somewhere else, and you know, they complain about where they're at now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, why don't you complain about or and maybe like have a positive, you know, influenced,
yeah,
you know, because like when you're in a big town, like it's big city, like you're kind of a nobody. So like if you're back home, yeah, like you probably, I mean, sometimes it is harder to come back home because maybe the job you're working at might not
right.
be something that you can, you know, do it in Calexico or in the Valley in general. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people that leave, at the end of the day, they do miss, you know, being here in the Valley.
Yeah. And definitely like the Valley would benefit if more people, you know, like more of our, the people that grew up here and like kind of like, stayed and, you know, were, you know, kind of lended a hand in some of these places where the Valley could really use some help and, you know, some innovation and new ideas and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, man. Well, cool. We're over an hour now. And, you know, it was great catching up again. Yeah. Like I said, it was 4 years since the last time you were on. And we've, you know, we've kind of kept touching on social media and whatnot. But, you know, it was great catching up.
Yeah, man, it's great. And hopefully, you know, you reminded me of my dog's birthday coming up. Hopefully it'll be something else, man. I'll see you out there.
What other music genre are you going to bring in?
Oh, right. Yeah. For his birthday, know, man.
To sing happy birthday.
Yeah. Maybe some sort of,
you know what?
Some sort of
serenade. It's funny because here in Calexico, we have the 111 in the bar. And whenever it's your birthday, they sing Las Mañanitas, but Pink Floyd, like a version, Pink Floyd version.
Oh, okay. Like,
estas son las mañanitas. It's funny. It's funny. The band that plays there, Sweet Rock, shout out to Sweet Rock. They're the amazing band.
Oh, amazing, cool, man. Yeah. You should go there consistently, like, or they play, like once a week. Or
they play Friday nights.
All right, man. I didn't know
Friday
that.
Nights, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, that's dope. Are you going? What are you doing tonight?
Tonight,
separate from the podcast. Just seeing, you know, because I know that you know Ronnie No Good. They're playing Jacob's band. I don't know if you had the Bourgeois guys on here. I don't know if Jacob.
I talked to Felipe and who else was there? The guy that's a DJ. Or the guy that was wearing the weird costume.
Joey?
No, I don't remember his name. But yeah, I talked to the guys from Strangers.
Well, I know they're playing out at Humble tonight. So
okay. Free, yeah, I'm probably, because I'm going to go to Mexicali, have a Sibian party.
Oh, right.
So, right. But yeah, if I'm here, if I'm back early, I'll probably swing by.
For sure. All yeah, right, man. Sure. Cool.
I know you go to Humble out for the trivia nights, right?
Yeah, we did, man. Yeah, we were doing that for a little while. Yeah. Yeah, we had a little record going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a little streak.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because I have a friend that, like, he's kind of like weirded out that I know like a lot of like pop culture like stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I grew up, you know, till today, like, you know, I watch way too much TV.
Yeah.
Not really TV, but like YouTube nowadays. YouTube's like my cable. Like, I'll surf all the channels, the YouTube channels, because I don't have cable. But yeah, he's like, why would you know that shit? I'm like, well, it's just fun, I guess.
Yeah. Well, same here, man. I was totally raised by like TV and movies. Mm-hmm. But shout out to my parents too, who also raised me. But yeah, no, like TV and movies, man, is crazy. Like I recently did a thing with my wife where we went back and watched, like, I remember growing up when somehow like sneaking like the craziest horror movies, like when they were coming out, and somehow getting into the theater and stuff. And so we sat down and just watched like movie theaters that I must have watched when I was like 6 or 7, from like 1991, 1992, and they were just like the craziest shit, man. Like, it just like, and I would like remember, like the way you were saying about like the nostalgia hit, like I'm just like, it'd be like, dude, I remember some of this style, like I remember all this stuff, and it's just crazy that I was watching it at that age.
But I think the movie that I remember watching as a little kid, and like I can literally remember like that moment, was The Exorcist.
Oh yeah.
So I was watching it, and I remember we had this pillow that had, you know how the, like, some of the cowboys have like those little, like the women have like a, like those little strings on their.
Oh yeah, yeah, the frill things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had a pillow that had that. So like I would kind of like put it so that it was covering my eyes, and then like whenever I wanted to watch it, like I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think about the sequel that's coming out? They just put out the trailer for.
For the Exorcist?
Yeah, some sort of reboot of like The Exorcist.
I don't know.
It looks pretty whack, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it, because I'm not a huge horror, like,
yeah,
no, like, till this day, like it's kind of dumb because I'll watch like this dumb shit, like Ghost Adventures and all that shit. Uh-huh. Like, you know, they're trying to, you know, catch ghosts, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghost hunting and stuff. I'll watch that, but I won't watch like scary movies.
Yeah.
No, I'll watch them if my family wants to watch a movie, like, I'll watch it, but I'm not I want to watch a scary movie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't think them remaking The Exorcist is gonna like be a thing.
Yeah, it's wild. They made like the now it's two little girls, you know what I mean? Like, they just doubled the ante, I guess. It looks really whack though.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would watch it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you again for coming by.
And, of course, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Shooting the shit.
Good times.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening or watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.